Hello, sexy nerds of the Nerd Imperium. Welcome to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are your inner conclave of nerdom. My name is Diz, and I'm your pop culture and sports nerd. Ali?
I am Ollie, your classic nerd.
And I'm V, I'm your comic book nerd.
Before we start, I hate having to say this so many fucking times, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But our thoughts and prayers are with the families of the victims at the shooting that happened at the YouTube headquarters.
San Bruno.
In San Bruno, California, just Northern California, yeah. Right outside of San Francisco. It happened earlier today as we're recording on a Tuesday. Right before we got in here, the suspect, who was a female, they haven't come out with her name yet, killed herself. She injured three others, and then one other person got injured trying to
escape.
Yeah, so they hurt their ankle as they were trying to jump out of the building. So it's just sad that it's been what? We're in our fourth month this year. How many fucking times have we given our thoughts?
Not that long ago from
Parkland, right?
Yeah.
You know, how many fucking times? Yeah.
I mean, and there was, let's face it, there was another shooting right after Parkland happened too. It's not like
in Maryland, we talked about that. So, damn it, man.
You know what's even sadder about this is the fact that people are doubling down on their psychosis when it comes to defending the Second Amendment, quote unquote. You have these fucking these shameless cunt, and I use the word cunt. Damn. Only for specific people, but that, what is that, Laura Ingraham or whatever her name is?
Oh,
yeah. I thought that was one of the better, more entertaining moments of Twitter.
This David Ho kid, bro.
Good for him.
So, this is the thing. So Laura Ingraham, as you brought up. Yeah.
It's Ingram, right?
Yeah. Okay. Ingram Angle. She spoke shit. She tweeted out that David Hogue had a 4.2 GPA but couldn't get into UCLA.
Yeah.
As many people know, the college admissions process is relatively arbitrary.
Yeah.
You can be a fantastic student. I mean, it's becoming more difficult to get into a lot of these universities.
Bro, you got into Harvard and got rejected to UCLA.
That's very true. The first time around, I got into Harvard and I didn't get into UCLA, and then had to go back a second time, and I got accepted the second time. But the second time around, I didn't apply to Harvard.
Yeah.
I got in the first time, and I kept my acceptance letter. Okay. Someday I'll put up my acceptance letters from Harvard to be like, I rejected Harvard.
For UCLA.
For UCLA. And rejected UCLA for UCI.
Yeah.
Very shamelessly so.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reality is that there is an arbitrary process at the undergraduate level. It's more nuanced at the graduate level. Uh-huh. Someone is making a decision, right?
Yeah.
Someone is looking at the undergraduate level. It's a crapshoot. Sometimes the best students get in, and sometimes the best students don't get in.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the reality of it. So she put out the stupid thing, and David Hogue asked first, very quite cheekily, who are your top advertisers, asking for a friend on Twitter?
Uh-huh.
And then he afterwards put a list of her advertisers.
Yeah, like her top 10 advertisers.
And a massive Twitter campaign emerged out of that to boycott those.
Three of them dropped out.
Not three. 12 dropped out.
12 dropped out?
Within 2 hours, three dropped out. Nutrition, a couple other ones.
Yeah, TripAdvisor.
But within 48 hours, 12 total dropped out. With her largest one dropping out when she went on vacation. So she, after losing five, immediately was like, oh, shit, I'm losing my advertisers, went back on there and did a full apology.
Yeah.
He's like, he should be proud of his 4.2 GPA.
Yeah, remember, we were the first to bring on our show.
And he brought up a fantastic point. He goes, this isn't the first time. I'm not doing this for me. You've told LeBron James to shut up and dribble.
Yeah.
So one of the things that the right is an understanding, and in many ways, this is the Trump effect, right? Is that the left, or liberals, actually, not the left, but liberals were unprepared for the tech savvy of the Trumpkin world.
Yep.
Right? These were the creatures that were born in the belly of 4chan and Reddit. They enjoyed things like trolling and whatnot. For them, even voting Trump was, even if they didn't believe in him, was a trolling act, right?
Yeah.
The savviness of that was liberals were not prepared. The Clinton campaign was unprepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the same note, these right-wingers are unprepared for the high school kids that they're attacking. BuzzFeed really pointed this out quite brilliantly. Say, if you were attacking the Parkland high school kids, be aware that these are the kids that grew up on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to win.
Yeah.
They're going to win. She thought, like Dinesh D'Souza, who she had dated back in the day, and a bunch of other people who really adopted this kind of trolling mentality on Twitter that she could get away with it, but she came up against someone who's way better at the internet than she is. Don't do it. You know, you're going to lose, and you're going to lose badly.
Yeah, you're not going to beat an 18-year-old because you're a
fucking idiot.
Yeah.
So I think the Laura Ingraham thing was a moment of hope for me. I saw it, and I went, the younger generation, Generation Z, is going to kick your ass.
Yeah, and then you got fucking Ted Nugent talking shit.
Ted Nugent talking shit. Bro. Yeah, but this YouTube one has also brought out a lot of really ugliness on Twitter yet again, right?
It's a female shooter?
Yeah, because it's a female shooter.
It's like the first time it's a female
shooter. Very rarely that it's a female shooter that immediately people are going, oh, should we be talking about toxic femininity?
Oh, my God.
Talking stupid shit. Like, there was early reports that then turned out to be false that she was wearing something on her head. People immediately jumped to headscarf. So you had people originally pointing out that it could have been Antifa, and then other people were going, oh, she's probably Muslim. All that turned out to be quite false. It looked like it was some type of workplace
disgruntled, like,
yeah, something of that sort. And then you have other people who naturally jump in. And today was one of those days where I just, like, I had to keep myself from responding. This moron called Ross Johnson, or Johansson, spelled Johansson, so Johansen, wrote, San Bruno, California has some of the toughest gun laws in the country, yet the tragic shooting still happens. Laws don't stop evil, and neither would gun control. Of course, this idiot goes on to make one of the most facetious arguments I've ever heard in my life. Someone called his ass out, and he goes on to talk about how the very first thing the tyrants and dictators do
is take away people's guns.
It's like, it's not my fault you guys are ignorant of history. And I was tempted to just jump in there and be like, hi, historian here. The first thing that tyrants and dictators do is not worry about guns. It's to control the ideological apparatus that is the media. They shut down free press and create propaganda. This is to ensure a sophisticated method of control, so you have people who aren't going to rise up, but rather will use their guns to kill people who disagree with you.
Yep.
This is what all dictators do. Saddam Hussein did this. Bashar al-Assad does this.
Dictators
around the world, you create a willing populace by controlling the information flow. That is more important than whether people have guns or not. The language of if you have guns, you can stop tyranny is one of the dumbest arguments, because you're already ungunned.
Have you seen the shirts that they're making called the National Ralph Association? And it's Ralph from The Simpsons holding a handgun saying, I'm a militia.
Ralph Wiggum.
Yeah, Ralph Wiggum holding a gun saying, I'm a militia.
What cracks me up is, like, the militia, first of all, had never anything to do with the tyranny within the United States, right?
It was always about, because there's no arms, there's no standing military, right?
Like, this, again, people are just fucking idiots when it comes to history. I'm not an Americanist, but I know this history. All you have to do is literally look at the original documents. There was the militia. The tyranny that they're referring to is the
English tyranny
of the crown, the British crown. Yeah. That is, that you were able to fight off oppression from abroad, not your own government.
Yeah.
Right? In fact, we know that they didn't want you to rebel against their own government, because when the Whiskey Rebellion happened, they shut that shit down quickly and immediately went, like, we don't trust these fucking militias.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you the proudest moment I've had of my brother in the past, few years? So we invited my friend Paul over for Thanksgiving, right? Paul's stationed here in Camp Pendleton. He's a Marine, right? So Paul was talking to a staff sergeant, and he's like, Paul, what are you doing for Thanksgiving, sir? He's like, oh, I'm going to go. My friends live out in Laguna Niguel. They invited me over to have Thanksgiving with their family. And Paul's staff sergeant says, that's great. Take another Marine with you, right? And Paul goes, that's not how it works. This is an Afghan family. I've known them since we were kids. I'm not going to just bring some random person to their house. My brother goes, hey, you tell your staff sergeant, I know the amendments. I can't, he doesn't make me court soldiers.
Yeah. This isn't the Quarter Act.
Yeah.
The Quarter
Act. So my brother brought that up, and I was like, I've never been more proud of you in my life.
Hey, the California education system didn't fail him. Or the Virginia education system
didn't fail my brother. Good job. Like, we're not going to quarter you people.
Yeah. Wait, did he know exactly which?
He said, we're not going to
quarter act.
Yeah, no, but did he know, like, which of the...
Which of the... I think he said the Fifth Amendment.
Well, what I find fascinating is that that's the only thing he can remember.
Right, my brother?
Yeah, exactly.
He's not allowed to have
If we ask him, like, freedom of speech. I don't know what amendment that is. No, but I know that no soldiers are allowed. And,
hey, it was a proud moment. Most Americans don't know that's an amendment.
No, it was a quarter act, taxation. These are all very good reasons to bring up. But it's just one of those, like, when Twitter, sometimes when these things happen on Twitter, there's some horrible tragedy, but everyone feels like they've got some opinion to add. You know, like, oh, California's got the strictest gun control. Well, guess what? The YouTube headquarters has armed security, right? That's part of it. It didn't do anything. It didn't stop it, right? Similarly, the colleges and high schools, they have armed security and armed cops.
Yeah, there was armed security in Parkland. In
Parkland. They didn't do anything. The myth of the good gunman, right, is a myth that is completely fabricated.
Oh, yeah.
Along with the myth of checking tyranny. You think that the government, with its missiles and drones, is worried because you've got a fucking handgun. You're an idiot who gives himself far too much. But it is. It's a little dick syndrome, right? Like, you go, I got a handgun. I feel powerful. No one's going to come after me. It's like, dude, they literally will drone your ass.
Yeah, I was like, hey, so because you're, you know, like, you want to buy these military-grade rifles, like, one of my friends is a big gun nut, and it's because, well, if the government comes in, you know, I could fight him off.
You're not going to fight out the government. No, I asked them. Did you see how the government responded to unarmed protesters in Ferguson?
Yeah.
They came out with tanks.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what they do with unarmed protesters. What do you think is going to happen when you show up with your... They're not going to show up. They're just going to drone you.
I'm like, hey, so by that logic, because you need to fight your government, you think you should be able to buy RPGs and tanks? He's like, no, why would I need an RPG to tank for? I'm like, because you ain't beating no fucking tank with a gun, motherfucker. Like, that's just not going
to
happen.
We have played one, you know, for once I agree with Donald Trump. Not that guns lead to violence, but guns lead, I mean, not that games lead to violence, but games lead to stupidity.
Yeah,
what I call stupid confidence. People have played first-person shooters for so long that they think... that somehow they're gonna do a roll over a wall and then slit someone's throat and shoot someone from, you know,
tell them to strafe,
right?
See if they can somehow strafe.
You know? You motherfuckers don't respawn in real life, all right? If you die in real life, you don't come back at a fucking respawn location and go and fight with your team.
Well, you know what's interesting is now, like, one of the most popular games right now is, you guys heard of PUBG before?
Yeah.
PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Yeah.
Huge game, right? It's basically the basis of the game is that you get dropped onto an island and you have to go and find weapons, and there's like 100 other people that are on this island, right? And then literally the borders of the island in which you have to fight one another gets smaller and smaller.
It's like Hunger Games, bro.
Right? So it's basically like Hunger Games, where it's a survival game where you have to try to kill one another and then the last one standing wins.
Yeah.
And it gets harder and harder because it takes you, like, when you have to look through your inventory, you actually have to, like, it covers your whole screen, right? As if, you know, to kind of simulate if you're looking through your stuff, you're not noticing anything around you. You know, everything makes noise. Yeah. There's all sorts of really crazy things. You know, like, people, and on occasion, like, a plane will come down and they'll drop, like, a supply crate with, like, stuff in it. But you have to be careful because there's always a sniper or something that's, like, waiting in a tree. And, like, the people love this game, this, like, weird survival game where it seems so real and everything. There's another game called DayZ, which was about, it was a mod for Arma 3, I think. And people loved it because it was so real. You had to eat, you know, you had to find a place to shelter. Mm-hmm. Everything made noise. You know, there was and people loved that style of gaming because it was so real.
Mm.
Right? But at the end of the day, like...
No matter how real.
If you die, you still come back. Like,
this is the thing about games, right? There is no correlation between violent video games and violence in real life. But there is a correlation between, in my opinion, there needs to be a study done on this, right? For all you sociologists and anthropologists and political scientists, even you, will include you. Please go ahead and...
Were you talking to Diz with them?
No, yeah, we were talking about political scientists last night. That's why I looked at it.
Oh,
you can tell the story in a second, because it's actually a funny story. For all of you, please do a study out there and ask the question. I think one of the most important questions that need to be asked is: there a correlation between first-person shooter games and stupid confidence? Because there has to be. Like, I don't know how many times you sit around. Let's be honest, just amongst us, right? We're not big first-person shooter, but all of us have played video games. How many times have we sat around as dudes and thought about scenarios in which a ninja breaks in, or you're in that grocery store and you're buying milk, and you're like, what if someone comes in and takes this entire place hostage? I'm going to take the watermelon and chuck it at his head. Like, how many times in
turn
your
my
head,
French baguette into a sword.
How many times in your head has your fantasies just involved competence.
It's true, yeah.
Just being competent in those situations. Whereas the reality is, you lose control of your bowels, your legs start shaking, your hands shaking. Anyone who's... the number one fear in the United States is fucking public speaking. People piss their pants to stand up on a stage and talk to people, but somehow think that they're going to bust out their gun, have perfect aim, and shoot the guy. Not shoot him, but shoot him in his hands so his gun
falls. That's true, yeah. You know, there's actually a really great Jerry Seinfeld. It was one of my favorite jokes when he goes, you know... the number one fear in the United States is public speaking, and the number two is death. And he goes, so that means that if you're at a funeral, you're more afraid of being the guy saying the eulogy than the guy in the casket.
Yeah, that's true. Like, so, I just find it hilarious that we live in that type of society.
I was a you-Googleizer once.
Yeah, you-Googleizer?
I gave a you-Googly.
Yeah. The Zoolander?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Which is an old movie now. It's like 15 years old now. It's weird.
I gave a you-Googly.
Which actually is a perfect segue into what we kind of want to talk about.
This. Oh, wait. No. Before we go
ahead. Wait, hold on. We'll just mention our talk. Yeah. Topic so people don't tune out.
Oh yeah, don't tune out.
Don't tune out because we are, as V set this up, we are going to be talking about actually underrated comic book movies of the past.
Yeah.
So we've already talked about Iron Man and Captain America and Black Panther like ad nauseum.
Yep.
Now we're going to talk about the stuff that you don't normally get a chance to talk about. But before we do that, this is a funny story.
Yeah. So
today in Diz's life.
Yeah. So this happened a few days ago, right?
So still depressing.
I'm sitting at work. And I get a call from a random number. It's a 415 number, so it's a NorCal number. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm on my break. I might as well pick this up. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're calling from a research facility. We'd like to ask you a few questions for a political survey. And 99% of the time, if you call me for a political survey, I'm going to take it, right? Because it's like, I want my voice to be heard.
One of the only few people that do that.
I love it. Right? Most people I want me to be like, that was me in that survey. I'm one of those people. So the first thing they asked me is like, so what? It's this guy with like this country accent. So he's like, what do you think is one of the most pressing issues in America right now? And I'm like, police and justice, sir. He's like, huh, interesting. All right.
You know what you should have said?
What?
You should have been taxation on watermelons. Should have thrown something out there that made him go, what?
So
I said, the rent's too damn high.
Yeah, see, now you got to keep these people on their toes.
No, okay.
So then, look, any way to fuck with political scientists is a good day in my book.
That's true, yeah. And you give them a story for the rest of their life.
So then he goes, okay, do you know anybody who is a Muslim? And I said, yes, sir, I am a Muslim. Oh, okay. Can you name
Abort mission.
Can you name a famous Muslim? And I said, yes, Linda Sarasor. And he goes, who?
As a piece of advice, anyone who is going to do a survey, if you're going to ask someone a question, please be prepared with some answers so you don't seem like an idiot.
He goes, who? I'm like, Linda Sarsour, she's an activist. I'm like, here, I'll make it easy for you. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's like, oh, no, him. I'll put him down.
Oh, God. This guy, who did they hire?
I don't know. And he goes, okay, how do you feel about politicians who talk about Sharia law, Sharia law. I'm like, you mean Sharia law? That's the one. I'm
like, he told me this story last night. I'm like, he has to have accidentally participated in a Trump survey.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think this was actually a political thing. I think it was a Trump
survey. Seriously, was there a Bible Belt area code?
No, it was a 415. So it was like Northern California.
415.
Yeah, I looked it up yesterday. Mm-hmm. So then. They were like asking me, like, how would you feel if a politician said this as opposed to this? Like, politician Jackson says Muslims are terrible. We need to get them out of this country. Politician Miller says Muslims have been in this country since the beginning of this country's started.
So when he told me the story, I said, I'm almost 100% sure that they were fielding. I'm 95% sure. We're going to have to check with our actual political scientist friends to find out the truth.
I don't know if you have any political scientist friends.
I do.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like, though, they wouldn't be your friends.
They have no choice.
They're my friends.
The point is, ass fuck, I'm sure that Diz participated in a survey that was fielding whether they could get rid of Muslims or not. They wanted to see, if we start trying to propose to get rid of Muslims, what people's reactions are going to be.
Mr.
Trump, I think you're fine. Go ahead and make your proposal. I think he accidentally participated in that survey.
I think so.
Good for you, Diz.
Validity Institute research or some shit. And I'm like,
I was asking about getting rid of Muslims.
And yeah, it did. Like they asked me about the travel ban. They asked me how I felt about Sharia law.
Sharia law is from the Irish... interview. You've seen it, right?
Where
there's a interview on Irish Talk Host, and they bring on this preacher, this Irish preacher, and a Muslim. And the Irish preacher kept going. He's an older guy. You can't trust the Sharia law. And the Muslim's like, it's not Sharia law. It's Sharia law. But the guy was like adamantly insistent on calling it Sharia law.
Bro, I don't know, man. It was a fucking like 10-minute long survey. And I'm pretty sure I fucked up this Trump like surveys. Like,
since there's going to be there's going to be a margin of error. So it's going to be called the margin of Diz. The margin of Diz says you shouldn't ban Muslims. But at 95% of the other people think that it's a fantastic idea. Right. Mr. President, of the hundreds of people that we surveyed, they all agreed with you. But there is this one guy.
He brought up Melinda Sourseur.
He was really upset about police brutality. He's mentioned some Muslim woman, and he doesn't want you to ban Muslims from the country. We have one person that we need to worry about.
I do get emails from Donald Trump every day saying, friend, I need your money.
I think someone might have signed you
someone
up.
Someone signed me up for the Trump fucking newsletter, and he keeps asking me for my money. Was it you, you son of a bitch?
Maybe not.
You son of a
bitch. I cannot confirm or deny if I've signed you up. I should probably just confess to, since we're on the topic, I have signed you up for probably 35 newsletters over the past 2 years.
Were you the reason why I was getting vegan newsletters for like a year until I unsubscribed?
We also signed you up for Macaroni Grill.
We did.
Yeah, to help Rhonda, our server, with her numbers. We signed you up for the Macaroni Grill.
I've been giving out your email address for surveys and
my junk mail folder is just full.
That's me.
You son of a bitch.
I know that I'm like, he probably doesn't check it, but it amuses me endlessly that Turkey Weekly emails did.
I was getting vegan newsletters. Yep. I was very confused. Yeah. I'm like, who the fuck signed me up for some vegan newsletter?
Yeah, I've signed you up for a lot of things. I probably have spent 2 years signing you up for newsletters.
You son of a bitch. Get the most random emails.
It's all me. I'm so...
Fuck you. I was wondering, you signed me up for Act Blue and shit too?
I signed you up for a lot of things.
You got a lot of these Democrat stuff.
Yeah, I made the mistake of signing up for Daily Kos. So, I was giving money to John Ossoff's campaign.
That was a mistake. Right.
And now they won't shut the fuck up about how they're going to go broke tomorrow.
The thing with Democrats has always been, Republicans always like, we're under attack, help us rally. Did you see how great we are? Democrats are like, we're on the verge of destruction.
Seriously, holy shit.
Your $5 can save democracy.
You know what's sad is that, like, you literally, after I watched the John Oliver piece on what's his face? Fucking gay frog guy. Alex Jones. About how Alex Jones kind of plays that we're under attack, and it's like this like crisis that I need your money.
Democrats do that shit.
Yeah, and like Daily Kos is just as bad about it. And you know, I can't. Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, I may technically agree with them on the political spectrum,
stupid shit,
but their shit is really dumb.
Well, they always all their email headlines are like the same: devastating.
Yeah.
Horrible loss. Yeah. It's like every day seems like something has happened that the Democrats are about to die.
Yeah.
All right. So let's dive into our topic now, which we set up but then refused to go into because Diz had a story to tell.
Barely.
Yeah.
You told me to tell the story.
We want to talk about underrated comic book movies because we've been chatting about movies that kind of broke the barrier or broke the ceiling. Mostly this came from the fact that I've been thinking about Hellboy.
Ooh.
So the Hellboy, they've been working on it for a couple years now. Guillermo del Toro is not a part of it.
What about Ron Perlman?
Ron Perlman's not a part of it either. It's a new guy they cast for it.
This is the one where the guy didn't want to play the Asian character's role, so he stepped down.
But it's been a while. I saw it a few months back, but I've been thinking about Hellboy for a while. And I was thinking about it as really one of the most underrated comic book movies.
It's David Harbour that plays Hellboy.
David who?
David Harbour.
Who is that? Oh, isn't it the guy who plays it from Stranger Things?
David Harbour?
The guy who's the...
Like, oh, yeah, he plays the cop in Stranger Things.
Well, I don't watch Stranger Things.
He's Hellboy, that's right.
Yeah, so and anyways, then Mila Jovovich or whatever her name is plays the Blood Queen.
Right. It's called Hellboy and the Blood Queen or some shit like that, right? Everyone's excited about it, right? Because it's kind of a Hellboy reboot. I love Hellboy.
I haven't really watched it.
It's really good, but it was also one of the more underrated, kind of a cult classic. Wasn't as big as people thought it was, or didn't become as big as people hoped it would. But it has a very strong cult following, which is why they wanted Guillermo del Toro to do another Hellboy. But it was one of the movies that kind of bravely broke the ceiling on comic book movies. It's like
when did Hellboy come out?
Early 2000s.
Yeah, something like that.
So like post Spider-Man.
A little bit, and then Hellboy 2 came out. 2010s, roughly, a little
bit. So post Iron Man.
Yeah, the Hellboy originally was not, was very small. And a lot of the people that went to it, not everyone remembered that it was a comic book. Because Hellboy isn't called Hellboy. The comic book's called Hellraiser or something else.
No, Hellraiser is Constantine.
Well, then what's Hellboy called?
Or Hellboy is Hellboy.
Is it just Hellboy? I thought he was Hellboy, but he's in a different type of comic book. No. Anyways, the point is that he has his own little following from the comic book world, but he represented a type of comic book movie that came out in the 2000s that actually resembled comic books.
Okay.
Right? An example of one that was fucking shitty was Daredevil.
Yeah, Daredevil was terrible.
Daredevil was part of that series of movies. He was a shitty example, where in my opinion, Hellboy was one of the better examples.
Well, Hellboy,
because I thought Hellboy actually captured the essence of the comic book.
Well, you had Guillermo del Toro, who's known to like put out these like great like costumes and costume designs, right? And we've seen that he did what was the other Labyrinth, right?
Pan's Labyrinth,
like oh the
Labyrinth with Jim Henson.
Yeah, Jim Henson.
Labyrinth was with David Bowie.
Yeah, but like
Magic Dance.
Yeah, but we saw like the dude with the eyes and shit, right? Right. Like so, like he's known to
the put dude out, with the eyes,
you know, eyes on his hands.
Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah. Oh, it's Pan's Labyrinth. You mean Hellboy? I'm like, no. They all have eyes.
No, the hands over his eyes and stuff. Yeah.
His eyes are in his hands.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but that's what Guillermo del Toro is known for. So it works for him, right?
Yeah, he does really well.
Whereas in Daredevil, everything just seemed too campy, but not in a good way, right? Because there's some campy that works.
Yeah, I mean, Hellboy is campy.
But it works.
It works really well.
Whereas Daredevil didn't, because you had like bullshit dialogue with him and Elektra, and like Bullseye was a bullshit villain too. So it's just.
I think the problem though is not so much because, you know, when you adopt a comic book into a movie, it's hard. You can't adopt the dialogue and the visuals the same way into a different medium, right? So if you keep it too comic booky, a lot of the times it comes off as pretty corny, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Right? Or even worse is that a lot of times when they approach the movie as a quote-unquote comic book, the directors have a very specific vision of what a comic book is, quote-unquote, versus what a cinematic masterpieces are, right?
Yeah.
So it takes a little bit of adaptation. One thing that Guillermo del Toro did that was great was that his ability to create worlds has always been, you know, his strong suit, like you said, but he was able to add to the world of Hellboy through the movie. Okay. And I think there was not a whole lot of other directors who could portray characters like Abe Sapien or, you know, any of the other characters in the Hellboy movie the same way that any other director could. And that's why, I mean, he deserves all the accolades in the world
for that movie.
Yeah. Another one that I really liked, actually, one that I thought was highly underrated at the time was actually in 2004 was The Punisher with Thomas Jane.
Yeah.
Which was, and John Travolta also.
Wait, John Travolta was in it?
Yeah, he played Howard Saint.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So, interesting note about The Punisher. Thomas Jane played The Punisher. He was in the series Hung on HBO with fellow comic book TV star Stephen Amell. Before Stephen Amell got famous, they both played male prostitutes with big penises.
The real question we should be asking is, what type of fucking movies are you watching?
It's a TV show on HBO. It's called Hung. It's about a male prostitute. He was a history teacher turned male prostitute.
What?
Yeah.
It's a shame. It's a shame to the profession.
You see your face like, what? He's a high school history teacher turned male prostitute.
Shame to the profession.
Yep, that's how it works.
So Thomas J. I mean, The Punisher is actually, what's interesting about that is it's a Marvel title. It's actually released under the Marvel Knights title, which Marvel Knights is specifically a division of Marvel made for adult content.
Huh.
So if you look at any of the Marvelites comics, a lot of it ends up being stuff that deals with adult themes. There's a lot of rampant murder in those,
okay.
A lot of killing, things of that sort. Or I think it eventually evolved into the Max series, the Marvel Max series, which I don't think ever really did all that well, but this in The Punisher, there's nudity in it. There is unabashed killing in it. There's all sorts of stuff going on.
The Punisher is a fucking anti-fan.
Yeah, he is. I mean, because he is technically, I think if you were to snap and go crazy, you would become the Punisher before you would become Batman.
Yeah.
Right. But technically, they have very similar form, creation.
Yeah, Batman is the idealized vision of revenge, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, you go crazy, but you're a billionaire who does good. The reality is more likely you become a vigilante like the Punisher.
Yeah. You know, and the Punisher, he deals, if you know, if anyone's not familiar with the Punisher, number one, shame on you, because he is a very interesting character in an otherwise homogenous Marvel universe. But he employs things like torture and, you know, all these really kind of brutal tactics in order to fight back against crime.
Yeah.
The most interesting part of that is because even the heroes in the Marvel universe don't actually like Frank Castle.
Also, one of the most underrated names for, like, a comic book. Like, his actual name, Frank Castle, I think is a dope name.
Oh, yeah, you know. Although, Marvel fucked him up. They turned him into a Frankenstein monster for a while, which is really weird, yeah. But I didn't bother reading that shit because it was dumb. But that one, The Punisher, if you haven't seen it, it actually is really good. It didn't get very good ratings at the time, but if you watch it now and realize that comic book movies hadn't hit their stride at that point yet, I think you'll be pretty impressed with it. I mean, that really got me back into that really got comic movies for me. Watchmen also did that for me a little bit, where it kind of went, okay, there's something that they can do with this, with this theme here, with this genre, and not make it look hokey. Because I think Batman, like the Joel Schumacher Batman movies, kind of killed the scene for us a little while, right? We kind of lost our connection to that comic book movie scene because Schumacher turned it into comic books.
Okay, so right? Here's the thing, right? Because when I'm bringing up underrated comic book movies, you guys might fight me and say that it's not underrated, but Tim Burton's Batman.
I'll fight you.
Right? They were
not both, because of the Tim Burton. I just want to fight you.
Right? Mm. But both Tim Burton Batman movies, Batman and Batman Returns, were fucking completely underrated compared to today's Batman movies, right? Schumacher sucked, right? Fine, Val Kilmer, George Clooney, not Batman. Michael Keaton as Batman, while at first seems weird because he's a small guy, right? Michael Keaton was Batman to me. Michael Keaton is more Batman to me than Christian Bale is Batman to me. I think Christian Bale as a Batman is overrated. He's number three behind Affleck and Michael Keaton in when it comes to Batman.
You like Affleck more than Christian Bale as Batman?
Because I think Christian... Here's the thing, right? The reason why Tim Burton's Batman worked for
me... Punisher!
Yeah, see, that shit doesn't work. But the reason why Tim Burton's Batman has worked for me
is because... As loud as I get.
Not only is it compelling from a Batman level, right? Because, like, you're compelled about Batman's story, but villain-wise, Jack Nicholson is the Joker. Amazing, right?
He does do a really good Joker.
Yeah, it's campy as fuck, right? And he's singing and dancing and he has his parade, but it's great. And then, I'm sorry, but the fucking Penguin, played by Danny DeVito, is arguably the most underrated fucking villain in, like, comic book history. That motherfucker gave me nightmares.
You're also a child.
Doesn't matter. He gave me nightmares. Every time I see him now, it still freaks me out because he was meant for that role.
He was gross in that role.
Yeah, but he was meant for that role, right? And then you had Christopher Walken playing that fucking evil mayor, and then Michelle Pfeiffer playing Catwoman. Michelle Pfeiffer is Catwoman to me. Fuck Anne Hathaway and Halle Berry.
Anne Hathaway was one of the worst Catwomen, in my opinion.
No, she didn't. She wasn't really
Catwoman. Halle Berry was bad.
Yeah.
But Anne Hathaway was not Catwoman. She was just a thief who people assumed was Catwoman.
I personally like Julie Newmar myself. That was Julie from the camp.
Yeah, yeah.
Julie Newmar was amazing. Eartha Kitt, also amazing. Yeah,
but here's the thing, right? Like, those movies at the time were... Because it's Tim Burton, right? Tim Burton's like this director that does a lot of, like, kids' movies, Nightmare Before Christmas, and, like, even, like, Sweeney Todd is, like, you know, but he does, like, weird movies, but those Batmans fit. And I don't really like Tim Burton as a director, but I love those two movies.
Probably the only movie that he doesn't have Johnny Depp making out with his wife.
That's true, but he was pretty young back then. Yeah. That in the 80s is when Johnny Depp still had that gap in his teeth, too. Yeah, okay. So, you know, he wasn't hot yet. Johnny Depp. Yeah, yeah. But I had to tell you, man, I got to disagree with you on being underrated, man. I mean, the first Batman movie made almost $500 million.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about from a financial standpoint, but when you think of, like, best comic book movies, right?
You're talking about, like, cultural impact.
Yeah, cultural impact, right?
They did open the door, though.
No, Superman came out first.
That's true.
Right?
But Superman was on another level of camp,
though. Yeah, but I feel like Tim Burton's Batmans were better than the original Christopher Reeve. Motherfucker's suit was like,
what are you wearing?
Yeah, that motherfucker's, like, turned the world back by flying backwards.
Undid time,
man. Yeah, no, that was Superman 4 with fucking, with the nuclear man. That was when they had lost all hope.
They lost all hope.
But
look. Kneel before Zod was still good.
Yeah, that's because they had, what's his face? Terrence, whatever.
Stamp.
Yeah, that's the one. He was playing Zod.
Yeah.
But I feel like... When you look back, right, because we're so jaded in comic book movies now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even when it comes to Batmans, people always say, oh yeah, Dark Knight, that's the greatest Batman movie of all time. Well, here's the thing.
I would say the Tim Burton movies were made for comic book and Batman fans.
Yeah.
I would say the Dark Knight series were made for the popular.
For sure.
Yeah. Consumption. It made the jocks and the ordinary people love the normies. I mean, yeah. The normal people love Batman. Whereas the Tim Burton movies were unapologetically geared towards the comic book. I mean, most of the Nolan movies plays a sort of Batman explanation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is how it would look like if it was in the real world. Tim Burton doesn't do that. He doesn't go, this is how it looks like in the real world.
Yeah.
There's no, this is the Batman world.
It is simply what it is.
It is what it is, right? I mean, a lot of it, right? The from his suit, oh, it's for spelunking. Like, there's this whole, like, way of trying to justify and create a logic, whereas Tim Burton doesn't do that.
Yeah.
So they're created for two different people.
I mean, look at the Batmobile. That's the iconic Batmobile to me, right? The one from the Tim Burton movies, the fucking long dildo-looking one, as opposed to this Bat Tank.
Well... Mr. Freud, tell us what you really think.
See, now Diz here just seeing a billionaire drive around in a giant dick.
That's all he's
all over the city.
Diz has told us in the course of an hour a lot about himself.
No.
Involves billionaires and giant dicks.
That's true.
You know what
the male prostitutes, actors playing male prostitutes.
You know what else is underrated?
In shows called Hung.
Yep. It's true. But you know what else is underrated? And I'll fight you for this one too.
You're just in a mood to fight.
Seriously. Fight people.
And I refuse to, honestly, the first Batman, right? Mm. The soundtrack was done by Danny Elfman and Prince. There's no way there's no mainstream success. Are you serious? Danny Elfman, Oingo Boingo.
You're using underrated in a very loose manner.
I'm using underrated.
It's as loose as your morals.
In terms of comic book movies.
Just slid that one in there.
All right. I'm going to let it slide.
I slid it in there.
Because
you're a man of loose morals.
Listen.
Yeah, sliding in.
And a loose butthole.
Yeah.
When you think,
driving around in that dick car, sliding it in.
When you think of superhero movies, you think of movies like Black Panther, Captain America, Winter Soldier, The Avengers. Those are the movies, and Dark Knight. These are the movies that stand out to people, right?
Of course, you think about it now. They happened in the past 8 years.
It doesn't matter. But when you think of greatest movies of all time, motherfuckers still say, like, you know, The Godfather 2, and that happened how many fucking years ago? Right? That happened 30 years ago, but we still talk about it as one of the greatest movies of all time. But when we talk about comic book movies, we don't put the Tim Burton Batman on the same level of respect, and that's why it's underrated.
Put some respect on my name.
Put some respect on the name of Tim Burton.
Can you at least give me credit for knowing what that phrase was?
But
don't ask me where it came from. Yeah. I just was about to say that. Yeah.
Wasn't that one of the Cash Money guys?
It was.
It was Baby, wasn't it?
It was Baby.
Yeah.
On The Breakfast Club.
Okay, whatever.
That's so true.
Yeah,
another 80s movie.
Okay. That was it. No, but here's another movie. Underrated. All right? The Crow with Brandon Lee.
Okay, The Crow... The Crow is underrated, but The Crow is a cult classic.
Yeah.
But it's because
it was meant to be a cult classic.
Yeah, yeah.
But, bro, honestly, Brandon Lee.
They're remaking it, you know that.
Yeah, right? They are.
Of course they are.
With the guy who played the arrow shooter from The Hobbit.
Legolas.
No, the arrow shooter in The Hobbit, not Legolas.
Oh, from The Hobbit.
Yeah, The Hobbit. Yeah, the one who shot the arrow at
Bard.
Smog.
You're talking about Bard.
Yeah, I forgot his real name.
With
Luke Owens or something.
Yeah.
Is it the dude who played Dracula?
Yeah.
Yeah, he also was in, like, the Fast and the Furious movies.
Yeah, but he also played
Zeus in Immortals.
I remember that, but doesn't he look like the older brother of some other actor?
He does. He does look
Luke
like
Luke Evans, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that his name, Luke Evans?
No. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Luke Owens. Maybe it is Evans.
I think it's Luke Evans.
It is Evans.
Yeah. One of those two, bro. Luke something.
Just something generic.
Yeah.
But he played Zeus in Immortals.
I remember that.
And he played Apollo in... Clash of the Titans.
Did he really?
He did.
How's that work?
Father.
I love that, how somehow when people think ancient Greece, they think English accent. It's marvelous.
They do think English accent. That's because the British pioneered those movies and those shows. I mean, it comes out of quite beautifully I, Claudius, and these other kind of series that the British did about Rome and ancient Greece. And so now suddenly us Americans, when we think sophisticated and ancient, we think British.
Fuck the Brits.
That's marvelous.
It's very weird.
Listen.
Of course,
one of my dearest friends, who actually I haven't spoken to in like a whole month, I should probably text her. One of my dearest friends, actually, her dissertation, she's a classic historian, focuses on Roman history. So it's like the intersection of classics.
My baby boobery.
Don't, please stop it. Stop. There's a whole movement out because of people like you.
What did I do? I just said my baby
harassing boo. Her.
I'm not harassing her.
She does brilliant dissertation work on why on oh shit, I'm gonna fuck up her dissertation. She's just really angry. The good news is I don't think she's gonna hear you hollering at her. She's not gonna hear me messing up. But my friend Bree, she does a brilliant, brilliant dissertation work on Roman history in the digital world. So how Romans have been visualized, yeah, and specifically there's like a whole like chapter on accents, mm-hmm, on why we think of the British when we think Rome.
Yes. Gratitude.
So whenever you publish your dissertation, we'll read it on air for you.
Okay, listen. All right. The Crow is what I was talking about.
Whatever.
From a story arc, it was amazing.
Killed Brandon Lee.
Visually.
That's true.
It was amazing.
I appreciate you liking the movie that destroyed a legacy.
The only heir of Bruce Lee.
He's got a daughter.
And there's Shannon Lee.
Oh, there's even
yeah, daughter. I know. She was on WMAC Masters.
Yeah, bro. He's got a daughter who's still alive, you piece of shit. You sexist bastard.
Not only sexist, talk about patriarchy. Yeah. I fucking like erased her from history. That's what in my mind, I didn't even know that he had a daughter.
Wow. Daughter.
Holy shit. Talk about patriarchy.
You brought that shit to another level.
I denied her existence.
Seriously.
Well, listen, man.
Mansplained the shit out of her.
Oh, wait, it's worse than mansplaining. Mansplaining would have been like, actually, Brandon Lee was the real heir. What's her name?
Shannon Lee
isn't an heir because she's a woman. She's got to take someone else. That would be mansplaining. This is like, this isn't even mansplaining. I denied her existence.
You manstructioned her out of it.
Like reworked history.
This is why you're a historian and not a herstorian, you son of a bitch. Oh.
You're so stupid.
But that's good. I'm going to give you that.
That is true.
I'm going to give you point Diz. Ding. You.
The movie came out in 1994. Mm. Visually, it was great. Like, you could watch it today.
The visuals of it are beautiful.
Yeah, you watch darkly it today, gothic, and it's still nice. Fucking. It's still like,
it's got
is
this
up there.
Great, gritty, urban, gothic look.
If you tell me The Crow isn't a good movie, I will fucking fight you.
I haven't met anyone who didn't like The Crow.
But I mean, the best comic book movie.
It's an underrated comic book movie.
No, I don't think so. That's a huge cult one too, though.
It's underrated.
I will tell you how many people in the online community literally took Eric Draven's name as their gamer tags. I literally fucking play with these fuckers all the time.
That's true. Everyone thought they were edgy and they were The Crow.
Yeah.
Because The Crow also is another one of those the boy fantasies, right? In the same way that we all visualize throwing the watermelon at the guy who's just took the Stater Brothers hostage. Stater Brothers is such a SoCal reference. Right? No, I didn't say Ralph's or Vaughn's.
No, believe me. No, most people don't even know what those are. Right, so supermarket. Like, just say supermarket.
You throw the watermelon. Every dude also imagines what happens if they would die.
And come back
but
alive.
Somehow they could get the revenge still. That's what the Crow is all about, right? You come back and you get revenge on all the people that fucked you over. That's another one of the... There's three boy fantasies. Get the girl, right?
Mm-hmm. Which horrible. Save the girl.
These are all very typical misogynistic, created by patriarchal histories, right? Save the girl, get the girl.
Mm-hmm.
Fantasy about competence, right? Just being able to be competent in dire situations. Mm-hmm. If I get caught out in the snowstorm today, I'm gonna start a fire with my gear shift. Like, in your mind, somehow your Bear Grylls and shit, right?
Yeah.
And the third is being able to get revenge no matter what happens. Like, some people think that they get shot, but then I keep going. They think they're going to have a thief or vendetta. That shit. Like, no, when you get shot, your body goes into go into shock.
That is true.
But people in their minds are like, no, I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to punch through them. I'm going to punch them in the neck. It's like, that's
I was half-masked during the whole movie of Taken.
What the fuck is wrong with you? You're just a terrible person.
So gross.
Yeah, but I think The Crow is a special place.
Someone burn it out of my brain. Like it's a sting. Give me the whiskey. I'm going to burn it out of my brain.
You took it there, man. And I'm supposed to be like the perverted one. And V took
you know,
there.
You keep saying that, and somehow it just never pans out that way.
Yeah, whatever, man. But The Crow inspired The Crow Sting in WCW, who fought Hulk Hogan.
Who the fuck is The Crow Sting?
Sting. Sting was a wrestler in the 90s.
Whatever.
He was part
of the man called Sting.
Yeah, a man called Sting.
I'm surprised you didn't mention actually Blade. I thought Blade would be more up your...
Okay, I liked Blade as a child.
I enjoyed Blade.
I did enjoy Blade. Remember,
actually, I thought we saw one of the Blades together, didn't
we? Blade 3 together.
We saw Blade 3 together.
Oh, you didn't watch the bad one together?
Because Triple H was in that one.
Yeah, we did. I do remember watching it.
He got shot in the eye with the arrow or something.
Yeah, by Ryan Reynolds.
One of the lamest representations of Dracula.
Okay.
Yeah, by Dominic Purcell.
Yeah. But the thing about Blade is it doesn't hold up.
Also, for one of the earliest black comic book
True.
Heroes that to make it on the big screen.
Yeah. But it doesn't
Steel. Yeah. Steel is another one. But
oh, it's Shaq.
Shaq.
But we try not to mention.
And then Michael J. White is Spawn, which is also not very good.
For a while I thought I loved the idea of a hammer that could do all sorts of things. I was a big fan when growing up of like Swiss Army devices. Yeah. You know how like the Swiss, because I had, if you remember, I had a collection of Swiss Army. I had a collection of knives in general. Like it was one of the things. If everyone went on a trip, they'd come back and get me a knife.
I remember because we got you some stuff from Vietnam. Yeah.
And my uncle who came from, those were back in the days where you could do shit like this, right?
Yeah, bring him on planes.
My uncle would come, every time he'd fly in from Germany, he'd bring me a new knife. And then he'd bring me like not shit that he'd bought. Mm-hmm. Anyway, like he'd bring like good, like solid knives that like
he found
this in Cambodia. But oh shit, it's killed 8 people.
Ali licks the blood off the blade.
So like, yes,
he brought me stuff with like meaning. And one of the things I collected was Swiss Army knives. I loved Swiss Army devices of any type. You remember that fucking show, Inspector Gadget?
Yeah, of course.
I love the claws, like vehicle, because this vehicle could do all sorts of things. It could turn into an underwater device.
That
it could fly. It could drive. I loved shit like that. That's why I loved Steel's weapon, because it's a hammer that then suddenly has like 16 different functions.
Mjolnir.
That's true.
No.
Is that why you were a fan of the Penguin? Because his umbrella did all sorts of crazy shit.
I love that.
Underrated villain, motherfucker.
That was my thing as a kid. That was one of my things as a kid.
But yeah, I'm telling you, Crow underrated.
Crow over Blade for you.
Yeah, because Blade just doesn't hold up.
That's true.
Honestly,
I rewatched Blade. It's Steven Dorff is really, the first Blade I liked. Kind of corny.
Yeah.
Second Blade I loved because of the blood pack, right?
Yeah.
Because Donnie Yen played Snowman.
Also,
in there.
One of the most impotent crews in the history of.
I know. Movie. It's like they were all big, these big badasses. They all died.
They die within the first second scene.
It's so. It was horrible. Because I went.
So good though. Like they built that shit up really well.
And then they really screwed it up because I actually named my warrior character in D&D after the head vampire, Eli Damaskinos, right?
There's Damaskinos, then there's Reinhardt.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of... We liked that.
Although, and I named my guy Reinhardt before Overwatch ever considered.
Snowman.
Yeah. Snowman was played by Donnie Yen, who played Ip Man.
Which one was Ron Perlman in? He was in a Blade.
Ron Perlman
was in the second one.
He was... He was
Blade 2.
He was part of that crew.
Yeah, he was like cowboy or some shit like that. He was the one American guy in this weird, like, Eastern European.
He was the one that fucked everyone
European.
Over.
That's right.
Yeah. And then him and this dude, Chupa.
Chupa.
Yeah.
A little Mexican friend.
Yeah.
No, Chupa. I say I'm being racist.
No, Chupa was a white guy.
No, that's racist.
Racist.
I liked it because
Mexicans.
The one guy they had was this dude named Lighthammer, and he was just like bald dude with like face tattoos.
I love that guy.
But it's like I looked at him. It's like
he got fucked over first.
Yeah, because he got bit.
Yeah.
But he didn't tell anyone that he got bit.
So him and his little girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah. But I always felt bad because like, I watch him now and be like, he's really skinny. He's supposed to be the heavy hitter guy with the hammer. But he's really skinny.
Yeah.
And when that, well, it's not nearly as intimidating as it was when we
were. So it was all really dark, so like you couldn't really tell how buff he was.
That is true. Yeah. But I like Blade 2 a lot. But Blade I really 2. Want, I wanted to bring, I wanted to talk about, real quick, about things like manga, which are really important to this because a lot of the stuff that we see. A lot of the shonen cartoons that we saw, right? Shonen specifically being a genre of Japanese cartoons that we saw when we were growing up. Yeah. Things like Pokemon.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I don't know if Full Metal Alchemist is considered shonen, but like these all started as comics.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Or even like some of the horror novels that was Ichi the Killer, right? Or a lot of the stuff by Genji Ito.
Mm-hmm.
Really fucked up stuff like Uzumaki and like mm-hmm. Tomie and all that stuff.
That's that tentacle porn shit, no?
No, it's not.
It's Uzumaki then.
The hell did you go to?
I thought Uzumaki was tentacle porn.
Is it?
No, it's it Uzumaki's spirals.
Oh, see?
What the?
Tentacles, spirals.
No!
similar things. Carry on.
But even things like Dragon Ball, right? Like, if you look at any of our most favorite RPGs growing up, Chrono Trigger being one of them, right? That's the guy who created Dragon Ball. And then those things become some of our most beloved movies, you know, or Ghost in the Shell was a manga before it became a movie, right? And then before white people fucked it up, you know? Or even, you know, Death Note, right?
Death Note.
Once again.
We would never talk about what they did to Death Note.
Yeah,
because we've been pissed about that.
Between, Willem Dafoe was the only good part of that.
Yeah.
And even then, like, Ryu character wasn't, but then anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's not.
Yeah.
Don't open that.
Yeah, but I wanted to make sure that we gave a little bit of homage to the Japanese side of things.
Clearly, our theme of underrated comic book movies was the most loosely interpreted. But this motherfucker's talking about Tim Burton over here.
It was underrated.
They just talk about The Crow.
Underrated.
So, because you guys have loosely interpreted, I was the only one that provided an actual underrated comic book.
Hellboy?
I'm going to throw out one that's not...
motherfucker said Hellboy.
That's not only not underrated, but isn't even particularly popular, or, to be honest, good. The Shadow. Mm. 1994, Alec Baldwin, The Shadow. It's an old pulp novel and comic book from the early 1900s. I think in 1930 it came out. It's a story about a guy who goes to Shambhala and he learns some mystic powers from the Orient.
Shambhala.
Is that a real place? Yeah, it's a mythic place in the East.
Oh, okay.
He learns some mystic powers.
Oh.
So his real ability, he wears a black trench coat,
okay,
a black hat, uh-huh, and a red scarf to cover his face.
Oh, nice.
He has no ability. He shoots guns, by the way. He's just pow, pow, pow. But
nice. That's how guns shoot.
But have you ever heard gunshots from like the 90s and the 80s? That is how they sounded.
That
like.
That is true. Yeah, yeah.
They sounded like what? Anyways, what his only ability was that he could project his voice anywhere, so it'd like freak people out. Like his voice would come from the bathroom and shit. He was also really good at espionage, so people thought he was like an actual shadow, and just reality he was really good at sleight of hand. And he had minor hypnotic abilities. The reality was he was just a dude with a handgun, with a couple handguns, with revolvers. But for whatever reason, I loved this movie as a kid. 1994 was like what, fifth grade, fourth grade? Yeah, fourth grade, right?
Fourth grade, 1994.
Yeah, fourth grade. Yeah. I loved that movie with Alec Baldwin before he was fat, and it was really enjoyable.
Listen, okay? I looked up a list of comic book movies from the 90s, ranking 20 to 1 from worst
where
to
was,
best.
Where was The Shadow?
The Shadow was at number 12, which was right above, like, it was slightly better than Tank Girl.
Okay.
But slightly worse.
I remember Tank Girl.
Slightly worse than Batman Forever, which
is shit. So, in my defense, I did say this movie was not only not underrated, but it was actually a bad movie. But for whatever reason, I liked it. This was in keeping with you fucking up the theme of my.
Brought up Hellboy. Hellboy is panned. Like, Universe is panned as a good movie.
No, panned
means banned. Yeah, you can't pan something as a good movie.
It's universally praised as a good movie.
Sweet baby Jesus, you don't even speak English.
I haven't slept much. Leave me alone.
Lord. All right, we're going to end this podcast with a recurring segment that is supposed to be recurring, but we basically do it as often as... you know, deadbeat dads visit their kids.
Oh, Jesus whoa. Christ.
God damn, bro. You took it there.
I did.
Speaking of which, I really like Flash Gordon, too. If anyone wanted to watch that, that's a good movie.
Where's the Flash is alive! Yeah. Flash.
Best theme song ever.
It's a queen. It's Queen. Yeah.
Also has Brian Blessed, who is one of my, what I consider a British national treasure.
He was the villain?
No, Brian Blessed plays the wing guy.
No, he's a hawkman in there. Oh. But, you know,
Gordon's alive!
Look up Ming the Merciless, though, and you can kind of get an idea what Ali is like in real life.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, that's racist as hell. Racist as hell. Second of all, that's baldest.
He's not going to make it back to this podcast next week.
There may not be a V next year or next episode. But it has Brian Blessed in it. Brian Blessed. Gordon's alive. The guy's got, you know, his lungs are so powerful that they like tested it out and like won some Guinness Book of Records. If you ever want to visit, if you ever want to look up someone whose real life might possibly be crazier than fiction, listen to a Brian Blessed interview. The man has climbed Mount Everest multiple times. He's gone canoeing with an orangutan, punched a polar bear in the nose. I'm not joking. Look it up. He's brilliant. He's one of my favorite people. Brian Blessed. He's one of my favorite people. All right. We are going to go to our segment that I said that is as regular as, what did I say?
You were talking about a
deadbeat dad visiting his child.
Oh, okay.
What did you think I said?
I thought you said as a dad beating his child.
No, a deadbeat dad visiting his child. That's how regular this segment is. But it should be more often. Lie to me. So who wants to go? Who's got a lie to tell us?
I got you guys. I got you.
All right. Lie to me, Diz.
Okay.
Lie to me. Lie to me.
All right. So.
Do it.
In a drunken state.
Yes.
I once challenged NBA All-Star Joel Embiid to a fight.
Okay, this one's tricky because whether it's true or not, if it's not true, it's very much in line with who you are as a person. If it's a lie, it's an actual eternal truth. Yeah. So it may be a lie in your history, but in some timeline, you've done this.
Yeah.
Right? All right, so let's ask some questions.
Question is, though, like, okay, if you were drunk, how do you remember it?
I wasn't, like, blacked out drunk.
You were just belligerent drunk.
I was just belligerent
drunk. Okay, where did you do it?
The Staples Center.
When was this?
2 years ago?
Okay. Did you yell it to him, or were you talking to him face to face?
I was at the bar at the Staples Center. He was also at the bar. I was with my friend.
Which friend?
My friend, Tony.
Was this a work event?
No. Okay. So I looked at him.
He doesn't look like his friend's name, Tony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I looked at this guy, because he's big. He's a 7-foot guy. Right? Yeah. I looked, saw him. I looked at Tony. I looked back. I'm like, oh, cool. It's Joel Embiid. Like, probably beat his ass. Like, right in his face. And the guy looked at me and just stared at me up and down.
Why did you think you wanted to beat his ass? Do you hate this guy?
No. Why? At the time.
Is he opposing team?
No, I just...
Here's the thing. You're more of a guy to threaten to beat someone's ass when someone else is holding them.
It's true. That is true, with arms behind their back.
Or if they're on Twitter.
It's true.
Okay. It's true. Okay. We've asked our question. Do you have any questions?
I have one more question for you, okay? Yeah. Now, did you actually challenge him to fight, or did you just say... Or did you just say offhandedly, I could probably beat his ass?
And he looked at you.
So, I said it to him... And he kind of gave me the look that he's going to beat my ass if I didn't walk away.
Did you walk away?
I fucking walked away.
All right. V, what do you think?
You know, I mean...
Tony? Of all the names he could have picked?
I mean, you're spineless, but you're also drunk.
Yeah.
So, you know, that... I can see you saying... You know, you say dumb shit when you're sober, so mm-hmm. you definitely say dumb shit when you're drunk.
Mm-hmm. These things tend to happen.
I'm going to say it's true.
I'll say it's true as well.
It did. It did happen.
I knew it.
I didn't need to ask any questions because the second you said it, I'm like, that's absolutely something he did. That's absolutely something he did. If he didn't do it, I'm pretty sure he will.
Yeah.
The Team USA was playing the Team China in an exhibition game before the Olympics at the Staples Center. And we had box seats at the Staples Center. And the alcohol was flowing. And I see this 7-footer, and I look at him, and I'm like, oh, it's Joel Embiid. I'm like, I could beat his ass. As I'm looking at him as he's staring at me, because I noticed who he was.
Fucking moron.
And the look, mind you, he was like 19 or 20 at the time, right? Yeah. And I'm like 26, 27, so I'm older than him. But he's like 3 times my size. And my friend Tony looked at me like, Diz, you're a fucking idiot.
In all fairness... An average human being is already twice your size.
It's true.
So this person must have been a giant.
He's 7'1".
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you fucked. You're 5'3". What were you thinking?
That's true. He stepped on me. He would have stepped on you. But he was injured at the time, so I probably could have
that
taken
it. That is why you felt so brave. I knew there was a reason. Yeah. It wasn't just the alcohol. Because you're an opportunist.
He was hurt.
You're an opportunist. You only kick people's ass when you have the golden opportunity.
He still would have beat my ass, but still.
On that note, we're going to end the podcast. Hit us up on social media. Tell us what you think about Diz's lie and why he's such an asshole.
It wasn't a lie. It was a truth.
Or his truth and why he's such an asshole. Let us also know what are your favorite comic book movies that you think are underrated that we didn't mention. And Diz is going to let you know how you can get in contact with us.
We're on Facebook. Facebook.com/currentlynerdy. At the tweets, currently nerdy. We're on Instagram, currently nerdy. Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. We're on the YouTube search, currently nerdy. We're also on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Google Play Store. Please rate, review, subscribe, and share it to your friends because we want more people listening so we can come up with more elaborate stories of how I try to fight NBA players. And if you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, how can I get a hold of you?
You can find me on my Twitter and on Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can find me on my websites at 7crossroads.com or my food blog at thesandwichslayer.com. Elite.
You can catch me online on Twitter and Instagram at AAOLOMI, on my website at AliOlomi.com, or on our sister podcast or our satellite podcast or child podcast or ugly stepchild podcast, whatever you want to call it, Head on History. In fact, if you go to my Twitter right now at AAOLOMI, you can actually find a guest blog from me for the series known as Podcasting History that gives you a peek behind the curtain of what it is I do when I write one of my special episodes of Head On History. So check that out. There's been a lot of great buzz about it amongst the history podcasters. You can just go hashtag Podcasting History and find the entire series, or look up Head On History Podcasting Series.
So are you considered a deadbeat dad because you only visit Head On History like 3 times a year?
No, because mine's more regular. Oh, okay. I'm a regimented dad. Regimented stepfather is what I am.
That's the picture of Joel Embiid.
Yeah, you do screw.
Compared to a 6'4" man.
You are screwed. That would have been dead. How do they get a hold of you, Diz?
You can find me everywhere at Dizbulla. DizBullah. Please do not send my Twitter handle to Joel Embiid, because if he finds me, he'll beat my ass.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you. Unless you're a center for the fucking Philadelphia 76ers, then I'm going to beat you.